tell you what, we're just moving right along on a Wednesday edition of Sports Call. I also want to remind you about that Sports Call podcast that's brought to you by Pepsi. If you ever miss Sports Call Live, or if you just want to hear something again, make sure you go back and listen to our show on demand wherever it is that you get your podcasts. Enjoy an ice cold Pepsi to go along with the hottest sports talk. Pepsi, that's what I like. JJ Jackson is my name. Brooks Childress and Ryan Lavoie flank me inside our studios here on South College Street today. And what we want to do is go to our Auburn Bank phone line and bring on a weekly guest, a weekly friend of the program, none other than Joe Bartle from RotoWire. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at JB Fantasy Sports. Joe, we always appreciate the time. How are things going in your world?
You know what? Not too bad. Packers got off on the right foot this past Sunday, and it looks to be a fun divisional matchup this week, which I'm excited for as well. And with the Vikings trading everybody away, I'm all right with that as a Packers fan. So all's good in my world.
I would imagine so. And I do want to get to some football stuff in just a moment. But while we've got you, what we love about Joe Bartle for our listeners that maybe have never heard him before, which shame on you because he's on our program each and every week. He's brought to you by our friends over at RotoWire. Joe, you could talk about anything and everything going on in the world of sports. The Dodgers completed a historic season last night by winning the World Series. We're already seeing the way too early odds for them heading into next year, 4-1 favorites to repeat as World Series champs. Why would you like the Dodgers' odds going into next season?
I just can't do it. I can't be happy for a Los Angeles team winning the championship. I can't, and especially the Dodgers, who've ruined my Brewers' heart on multiple occasions now in the playoffs. It's just I don't know. Like I can sit here as an objective sports fan and say it's pretty impressive what they've been able to put together, because for as big of a market as they are and for as much money and capital as they have to spend, really it's Mookie Betts when you look at this championship team that is somebody that was not a homegrown talent of some sort. And even in the sense of Betts, they were able to trade for him with the prospect that they were able to grow themselves to the point where he was an attractive enough piece for the Red Sox. So, like, I can sit there and be objective about it, but, like, I also understand from the Dodgers' perspective, this is a loaded lineup that can continue to be loaded because they have unlimited bankroll to be able to do things that really no team the size of the Yankees is capable of doing as well. So they should be in this position. They should be 4-1 odds to win the World Series next year, because there's no reason for them not to fail other than personal failure. They're going to have the money, the backing from the ownership, and everything else to be repeat champions. And you look at the AFC side, that goes my football part of it, you look at the American League, like I think there are going to be more well-rounded teams on that side of things in baseball for quite some time. And here on the NL, like, I don't know, I really love the Braves, and I think they're going to be a fantastic team for a while. But is there really anybody else that you truly see coming up? Maybe the Reds? I don't know. And this is from a Brewers fan, and I sit there and I've watched the Reds struggle for many, many years. I just don't think there's going to be nearly as much talent to challenge the Dodgers in that regard. So, great, they'll have another chance at a World Series, and they can be 1-for-4 or whatever it is, or I guess 2-for-4, whatever the instance, if they do end up winning next year. I think they should be the odds-on favorite because they have the easier path, the unlimited bankroll to be effective, and an ownership that's willing to be an effective team. And that's basically 2/3 of the battle when it comes to baseball right now.
Well, our Atlanta Braves right up the road there in Georgia, 8-1 favorites to win the World Series next year. That's the third best odds, the Yankees sandwiched between the Dodgers and the Braves. So we're hoping the Braves have a good future. They certainly do, but we hope they can bring home a World Series title for all of our listeners, and we'd certainly be excited about that. We're talking with Joe Bartle of RotoWire here on this Wednesday edition of Sports Call. Let's stay in Los Angeles, but let's get back to the normal sport we converse about with you. And the Rams, Joe, what an interesting team they are. 2 seasons removed from a Super Bowl run, and another big win on Monday against the Chicago Bears. Why are we not talking about the Rams as much this season?
I think it's a couple of different factors. A, the Bears are not good. And this is not just the Packers' bias that's coming into play, although you can accuse me of that, and I understand. I just don't think the Bears are a 3-4 team that's masquerading as a 5-2 team because the Lions and Falcons, respectively, almost intentionally tried to lose the game. I mean, that's quite frankly, the Falcons did. But the Lions, too, with DeAndre Swift dropping a touchdown pass in the opener, there is no reason for me to think that's a very competitive team. So from that angle, it's not like that quality of a win. The Bears' record is not really reflective of what kind of talent they are. And I think unless they play the NFC least in the playoffs, they're probably going to lose their first-round playoff matchup should they get there. So that's one part of it. But the NFC West as a whole is so unbelievably talented that I think it's hard to really focus on any one team right now. And I tweeted about this while the game was going on Sunday night, but there should just be a rule. Like, we need some good things in our life in the year 2020. Just every NFC East primetime game, I don't care if it's Thursday, Saturday, Monday, Tuesday, whatever, automatically should be taken out, and we should have an NFC West game put in there in its place. Because you have four quality teams that I think, other than maybe the Packers, are the four best teams in the NFC right now. You can make a case for the Saints in that conversation, too. And even sitting here as a Packers fan, I watched that Cardinals-Seahawks game, and I'm like, man, I don't think the Packers beat the Cardinals. I definitely don't think they beat the Seahawks. The Rams, the way their offense is right now, they've been getting a lot of production, or they've been getting a lot of production from other people. It's not just a singular focus on Todd Gurley or Brandon Cooks from years past, things like that. Like, they're getting multiple tight ends involved. They're having a running back by committee be incredibly effective. I think Jared Goff is kind of finding himself as a game manager, and that is not meant to be a knock on him whatsoever. He's doing the right things for a team to be successful, and they are having the defense kind of gel now to where they are a top 10, I think, in the NFL defense at the moment. So the Rams team is legit. The unfortunate problem for them in terms of coverage is that the Seahawks, Cardinals, and 49ers might also be very legit too right now.
Joe, I want to stick in that same city of Los Angeles to the other team that shares SoFi Stadium out there. The Los Angeles Chargers, they've got a pretty good quarterback on their hands, turns out, in Justin Herbert. How good has he been? And on the fantasy side with him, should people be looking and trying to pick him up as a full-time starter?
Yeah, so I really liked Herbert coming out of college. And I know there's a lot of naysayers talking about how he really wasn't effective on the national stage. Didn't win a lot of important games, and the system was kind of set for Herbert to be successful. But I thought, this is a guy that can throw pretty strong, right? He's got a great arm, he's fairly accurate, and he's mobile. What else do you need from a quarterback in the NFL at this point in the year? Like, even Daniel Jones, at least from a fantasy perspective, is a really talented guy, and we saw it with that 80-yard run that he ended up tripping on last Thursday night, is that he's Daniel Jones, an effective guy, and he has way less accuracy and way more turnover prone than whatever Justin Herbert displayed in college. So I think Herbert is going to be a guy for years to come, both from an NFL and a fantasy perspective. The scheme is what's really helping him too, though. And I don't think people quite understand this. They see, hey, a rookie throwing 300 plus yards every single week. This is insane. He can run the ball too. It's awesome. But this is the same scheme that Phillip Rivers was able to be a fantasy successful guy for. And now he's in the Colts and like bottom third overall in terms of fantasy scoring. And yes, Rivers has fallen off a little bit, but I just don't think people understand that Herbert is basically running what the Chargers would have loved to do with Rivers. Anthony Lynn always loves those mobile quarterbacks. Herbert provides that angle, but they're not running read option plays for him. It's really Herbert looks at three or four different options. If it's not there, then he goes ahead and makes a play with his legs. In the red zone, he's even more effective in that angle because he has that capacity, along with a Mike Williams, a Hunter Henry, once Austin Eckler gets back to all those guys to throw to. And then he's got running backs like Joshua Kelly or Justin Jackson who can do things as well if they have opportunities. So I love the scheme the Chargers are running, which gets Keenan Allen and Hunter Henry involved in the middle of the field. And there's so many plays. I think back to the Buccaneers game in that first half. They had two different touchdowns, both to Jalen Guyton and Donald Parham, who are names that you are probably not familiar with at all, that were great touchdown passes, but great plays that were schemed up. And again, last week we saw the same thing with Parham scoring his second touchdown as well. I think you're going to see that for most of the year. And if Herbert is not picked up already as a starter, he needs to be. I've seen so many different calls and messages and tweets to me like, hey, I have Lamar Jackson. Should I trade Jackson for a piece and use Herbert rest of the season? Or I have Kyler Murray who's on his bye. Can I trade him for Justin? Or can I trade him and use Herbert for a starter rest of the year? Yes is the answer. And I think trying to be able to take advantage of what I believe is a top 10 fantasy quarterback the rest of the way in Herbert makes all the sense in the world when he doesn't have the same name recognition as a Russell Wilson or Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray. I think Herbert can produce numbers that are pretty close to that each and every week.
And then, Joe, one question that everyone wants to know every single week when you're setting up your fantasy lineup, who are some guys that you're looking at that are on the waiver wire right now or probably not owned by a lot of people that you would consider picking up for this weekend in fantasy football?
Yeah, so you need to check first for the big three running backs, Giovanni Bernard, Jamal Williams, and Chase Edmonds. Each one of those, I think, will be starting running backs this week. In the case of Aaron Jones, I don't believe he's going to play against the Vikings. If he does, that's great, but I don't see it happening. I also don't think Joe Mixon, especially with the Bengals bye week coming up after this Sunday, I don't think he's going to go out there. So Giovanni Bernard becomes another starter as well. And Chase Edmonds should have already been picked up everywhere because he was a better player than Kenyon Drake, quite frankly. But now we've got that confirmed with Drake out now for a couple of weeks. So those three need to be picked up in every single format, and I think our starters every single week. Edmonds is on the bye this week, so you can't. But moving forward, they would be starters so long as the normal guys are out. Otherwise, I kind of like Rashad Higgins, the wide receiver from the Browns, with Odell Beckham out. I also like Harrison Bryant as well, especially if we're assuming Austin Hooper, which I don't believe is going to play after his appendectomy. I think Harrison Bryant becomes a pretty low-end tight end one, kind of like tight end 12 to 16 range this week. As his floor, we saw this past week with the two touchdowns, there's a pretty high ceiling when the Bengals' offense can be in an effective spot. And I think they will be again in this match against the Raiders, too. So those are just two names that I'll look at, but certainly make sure you check for all three of those running backs first, because I think they are worth a number one waiver wire claim and should be picked up in every format out there.
10-day free trial of RotoWire's excellent service, rotowire.com/free, to get all of their great stuff. Joe Bartle joins us each and every Wednesday to break down all the best deals that you need to make in the fantasy football world. Joe, before we let you go, you and Jake Letarski do the podcast every single week for RotoWire. We saw you tweeting about it yesterday. What can folks expect if they download that podcast?
Yeah, any of those free agent pickups that you are really interested in, we go into pretty great detail, whether it be 10-team, 12-team, 14-team leagues. We got you all covered with different names to consider throughout the week. We have your QB streaming options, those running backs I mentioned. We dive a little bit further into the Wayne Gallmans of the world if you're really interested in worrying about the Giants' third-string running back. We got you covered on that coverage, too. And same with the wide receivers and tight ends, too. It's a great podcast, but, man, we have great podcasts going every single day of the week. Every Thursday, my good friends Mario Puig and John McKechnie break down every single NFL game from a gambling perspective they talk about, but fantasy matchups as well. I think it's always an informational tool. And on Fridays, we have basically an award-winning DFS podcast as well going on. So there's podcast coverage every single day of the week when it comes to NFL, and really any other sport. RotoWire's got you covered as well for that, too.
You're always the greatest, Joe. We certainly do appreciate the time. I cannot wait to talk to you again next week, all right?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it as well. Thanks, guys, for having me on.